The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The Jets have requested to speak to Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley. Now, they've added him to the list. Still no Mike McCarthy, still no Pete Carroll, still no Ben Johnson, still no John Gruden. But Jeff Hafley, we'll get a look, talk to him. He was actually at Pitt when I was there.
Oh, really?
He was a quality control guy, defensive backs coach, man. Big recruiter. He's a good guy.
Communicator. You know, I guess Mike Tannenbaum just keeps throwing people at, you know, at the Jets. I guess Woody Johnson.
See what sticks?
I guess Woody Johnson wants to continue to talk to as many people as he possibly can and be as thorough as he possibly can. And he is directly 100% involved. And it's going to be his decision. And maybe he's already made his decision. He might have already made his decision. He may really want Aaron Glenn.
So how does it work, though? So, of course, if you're still coaching as the playoffs go on, you're not going to be announced as the next head coach. But let's say they wanted to hire Brian Flores. The Vikings get eliminated on Monday night. Could the Jets end up hiring Brian Flores tomorrow? Does the NFL not like when that goes on?
No, they could hire him tomorrow. Okay. There's no, I know that they were talking about doing a moratorium on not signing coaches until after the Super Bowl was over. But, you know, if you are a free agent coach, your season's over and your team, you know, the other thing too, is if, you know, if Brian Flores is going to get a job, he may be bringing some assistance with him from Minnesota. So therefore Minnesota has got to get on the horse and either start elevating assistants or hiring other people, to fill in, you know, the places that these guys are leaving. So, I mean, like, you'd like to get this stuff done as quickly as possible because there's a lot of, you know, reactionary stuff that has to happen behind the scenes. And again, like I said, you get your coach now, you're going to have your pickings of all the other coaches out there. And a lot of guys would love to come and work for you because you're starting out means you probably have a 4-year or 5-year window to get it right. And that's a little bit of security for these coaches, as opposed to like Brian Daboll looking to add coaches to his, you know, coaching staff.
Yeah. And well, I mean, we've also seen guys get fired after 1 year. So the security, I mean, we saw, you know, guys get fired before the season ended in their first year.
Again, you know, a guy could walk into the room. He could have the physical presence. He can be able to communicate everything he wants to do. But I still need to know so many aspects of this. Like, do you have a staff together? So if Aaron Glenn says, oh, yeah, I got my staff together, that means Aaron Glenn's been putting his staff together. The other thing, too, remember, is that these agents represent a lot of coaches. So let's say Matt Eberflus.
Eberflus
wants to get back into it. I don't know how long he had left on his contract, but let's say he wants to get back into coaching as a defensive coordinator. He will be highly sought after as a defensive coordinator.
Much like Rob Saleh.
Right, exactly. So Rob Saleh, I believe, is also interviewing for the Cowboy job.
He is.
All right. So, and I wouldn't be surprised if you start hearing, you know, some chatter about maybe John Gruden going there. Who knows?
Really?
You might. You never know.
I haven't heard any chatter about any of that yet.
I would say with Jerry Jones, anything is possible.
Hmm.
Anything is possible.
Well, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see him at least get an interview.
We do remember about 4 weeks ago, there were teams doing homework.
Homework.
Due diligence.
Yeah, the old due diligence thing.
Yeah, on John Gruden.
Yeah. And I guess they didn't like what they found because nobody's interviewed him.
Well, we'll see. There's like, who would have thought? Like, I think we all thought that there were going to be at least five openings, maybe six. Here we are, seven openings. Well, seven openings.
That's right.
Almost a third of the league.
And the Cowboys, the latest one. And then other than what the Jets are doing, that's the one that's the most interesting to me, is what's happening there. Then the Raiders after that, I would think.
Yeah.
And the whole Tom Brady element of this.
Right. So every coach should be asked a couple of things. Who are your coordinators? What kind of offense? What kind of defense? How are you in late game situations, end of half situations? Do you have your own analytics guy or somebody to help you navigate the game while the game's being played?
You trust Woody to be able to ask all these questions?
I would like to think that either Jaime, Woody, and whoever else is in these meetings
are Savage.
I don't know if he's in the meetings or not.
Well, I mean, Jaime is a cap guy and a business guy, and Woody Johnson could think he knows football, but, I mean, those are not the questions he's going to be asking. So,
well, what do you think Woody would be asking?
I mean, it's sort of more generic questions. Like, I don't think he's going to be talking about analytics things. Do you have your own analytics guy? I do think he'd ask, you know, what about the offensive coordinator? That's for sure.
There are a number of things going on here. Like, so when Mike Vrabel takes the job, and this is like the perfect fit. It's the perfect fit for the New England Patriots. And it's the perfect fit for so many reasons. One, he was a very popular player when he played there. Two, they won three Super Bowls, I think, when he was there and played in other Super Bowls when he was there. So he has had all of that experience. He went to college and he coached at Ohio State. Initially, his foray into coaching when he gave an interview with Urban Meyer, who was the head coach at the time, didn't go well. And after his first interview, they were not going to hire him. And then they brought him back because Luke Fickle, who was, I guess, the defensive coordinator at the time, felt that Mike Vrabel was too good of a guy not to be a coach on that Ohio State team. So they ended up hiring him to coach defensive line. And then Bill O'Brien got the job down in Houston. Bill O'Brien knew, obviously, Mike Vrabel from his time in New England, hires him down there as the linebacker coach, as Vince Wilfork told us.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ascends to the defensive coordinator. Then he gets the job at Tennessee within the same division and has a modicum of success there with questionable quarterback play, for sure. But he has all the right aspects of what you want as a coach. Former player, successful head coach, went through it as a defensive line coach, a linebacker coach, a defensive coordinator. He's in the Ring of Honor. He was under the Belichick umbrella. I mean, everything you want. You couldn't pick a more perfect candidate for a job. Now, who is that for the Jets right now? Is that Aaron Glenn?
No.
I know how you feel.
I've said it 50 million times. No.
All right. So it's one more time. Let's do it again. Give me your top three candidates that the New York Jets, in your eyes, should at least either interview or hire that they haven't.
John Gruden. Now I have to say Mike McCarthy. And they're going to interview Flores, right?
They did already.
All right. So those three guys.
Okay, so let's say Gruden's out of the picture, and let's say McCarthy ends up going to the Bears, whatever, or is just doesn't get a job.
All right, then I throw Nagy in there.
You throw Nagy in there. Like,
yep.
You feel like you want to have a guy that has 100% been a head coach before.
Absolutely. Gone through the ringer a little bit. Need to have that.
I'll tell you what, Nagy and Eberflus both gone through the ringer up in Chicago.
Yeah, but Eberflus, though, Nagy's had his time to separate himself from that, get back with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. He's clean again. You know, they washed all the slime off of him now. Eberflus still covered in the slime, especially after getting fired after that terrible clock management. There's no way he's getting another head coaching job.
And again, you know, you talk about clock management, like that is a huge thing, man.
Of course.
And I would say that whoever the head coach is, even if he has past head coaching experience, needs to have somebody on his staff that understands managing the end of the half and the end of the game, depending on the circumstances, and not have happen to them what happened like to Raheem Morris when they were playing the Commanders and they had a rookie quarterback out on the field and they didn't know how to use their final two timeouts in the last minute of the game, which is so mind-bogglingly stupid.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
BT and Sal back on the Fan on this Monday. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Get back to those calls in just a second. We're talking Mike Tomlin. Will he be available? Won't he be available? Jets, should they go get him? What should they give up to take him? The one other part of this, BT, for me is why in the world, if Mike Tomlin was set free from the Steelers, whether he's allowed to go seek, you know, whether they fire him, whether it's a trade, whatever, and he can pick his spot, why would he ever choose the New York Jets with all the options he's going to have?
Let me ask you this. Do you think right now Mike Tomlin feels appreciated in Pittsburgh by
probably
the fans?
Not.
Okay. So the reason you look at the Jets, number one, there's some very talented pieces. And listen, it's subjective. So if he doesn't think so, then maybe it's no. But I think that when you're in a place like Pittsburgh that demands, you know, greatness,
mm-hmm.
and it hasn't happened in a while, It becomes stale, and I think the pushback is pretty personal. So I think if you're to go somewhere, you're seeking a place where modest success early will be met with and received with incredible adulation. So I think that's the answer.
Yeah, I'm just
looking
at it.
So like the bar's so low.
The only issue, and it's a big one, that I would have with the Jets opening, because I don't disagree that they're ready to have some success with a real head coach. Like, I think everything that they're lacking, Mike Tomlin would be perfect to clean up, specifically if Aaron Rodgers comes back. And by the way, he might be coaching Aaron Rodgers anyway next year, whether it's here or there in Pittsburgh. But the owner... Like, he's got owners in Pittsburgh that are the complete opposite of what Woody Johnson reportedly is or has been since he's taken over ownership of the Jets. And if I'm Tomlin, that's the last thing I want. By the way, if, let's say, Dallas becomes open, you know, you want to go coach the Cowboys or the Jets, and you can make an argument for the Bears and what the Bears set up and all the talent that they have in place, and it is the Chicago Bears.
Like, yeah,
he'd be revered there as well. So there are, to me, with the openings, even the Raiders, like going to Vegas with the Raiders and, you know, with Brady taking over, who knows, having a clean slate kind of to work with the Raiders, maybe that's appealing to him. I just, because of Woody, I feel like it diminishes what otherwise would be a great, appealing opening, New York and some talent there. I don't think that Tomlin would choose the Jets either.
Well, if he's traded, does he really have a choice?
Well, I'm assuming that he's going to through his agents.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to shove it down his throat. I think they would treat him the right way.
I honestly don't know, BT. You could be right on that. But, like, imagine you're going to trade a head coach. You're going to go kick it and scream into it. Like,
well, how many coaches have been traded in NFL history? If you had to take a guess, I actually have the number. In the history since the merger, how many coaches do you think, Sal?
Five.
Seven. Close.
Okay.
Don Shula, I didn't even realize this. Don Shula was dealt back in 1970.
From the Colts?
Yeah. Okay. Parcells in 97, as we know, obviously. Holmgren in 99.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, Holmgren back in 99. You had Gruden in 02. I even forgot that Herm was traded to Kansas City in 06 for like a fourth round pick. Arians in 2019, Sean Payton 2023. So there's, and I think Belichick as well back in 2000. So there is the list of seven. Every name, let's see. Shula, Hall of Famer. Parcells, Hall of Famer. Holmgren, Hall of Famer. Gruden, borderline. Herm, though. Arians, probably not. Peyton, yes. So, and Belichick, yes. So five of the seven are all-timers.
Yeah, and then look, we actually brought this up, and I don't know if we said specifically with the trade, but if you're going to go by that, right, then why not inquire if you're a team looking for a head coach, whether it's the Giants or the Jets, and inquire about Sean McVay? Whether it's this right now or last year or whatever, like, there was rumors about him wanting to step away. Point is, if any coach is going to be available because of a trade, which, by the way, in the history of the league or since the merger, it's only happened seven times. To your point, it doesn't happen very often. But I would be looking to get one of those no doubt about it guys. Anyway, regardless of some of the rumors swirling about Mike Tomlin, I just don't think it's realistic that you're going to have him be available. Nor do I think if he were available that he would want to go to the Jets, which could make things complicated.
Well, I was going to ask you, what do you think is more realistic, that Pittsburgh would be willing to trade him, or that he, if he got wind of the fact that the Steelers were trying to trade him, that he would be okay with it?
I think it's more likely he'd be okay with going to the Jets than it is more likely that he's going to even be available.
I probably agree with that. BT. Again, but you make the call. Do I think it's very, very likely? No, but you've interviewed 20 guys. You just interviewed somebody at the University of Maryland who barely has a winning record. Actually, in totality, he's 30 games under. If you include his previous job, I know he's won three straight bowls, whatever, I'm forgetting his name. Yeah. He basically seven wins. What's it, a Slackies? Whatever.
I have no idea.
Basically seven wins every year. You're going to interview that guy? You're not going to call the Steelers and try to pounce on something that I think is, you know, the door's a little bit ajar? You got to try.
Hey, I'm so mad they aren't interviewing Pete Carroll, and his name keeps coming up for other teams as well.
Like, I know.
The least they could do is interview him. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
Loxley.
Thank you, in Maryland.
Mike Loxley.
888-808-1019. Justin is calling from Paterson, New Jersey. What's up, Justin?
Hey, man.
Hey, gentlemen. So everything I've heard is from Steeler fans that they're ready to move on. Majority of Steeler fans I know. The issue is Mike Tomlin does have a no trade clause. So that factors in. So it would have to be 100% his consent. And I think the Steelers would try to like baptize any team that would try to get him for multiple firsts, similar to the way with the Broncos and the Saints trade for.
Yeah, also maybe try to trade him outside the conference as well. I know they're not division rivalries with the Jets, but if they are going to trade him, maybe trade him outside the conference.
Yeah, exactly that. But I think teams do move on. Syracuse had Jim Boeheim for a million years, and they basically walked him out the door. So it's not the most uncommon thing.
And how have they been doing since?
They've been terrible. I'm not saying it's
And also, I'm saying
is sometimes teams say we're not getting where we need to go. We have to throw something against the wall and try to get to the
also the difference there, Justin. And thank you for the call. Boeheim, how old was he?
He was almost 80.
And that's what I'm saying. Mike Tomlin's still a young guy as far as head coaches go. As far as life goes, Tomlin's 52 years old. That's nothing.
No, that's why I'd give up multiple ones for him. Think about this, guys. For the most part, we are evaluating this through our green prism. All right, our Jets prism. And if you don't think the Steelers, and you don't, that the Steelers would be open to trading him, I understand that because, and maybe you're not doing this, but I think some people are. Like, when you look through that little green prism, you're saying, geez, all these years, 14 straight years, no playoffs, what the hell would the Steelers do getting? Why would they get rid of him? All right, put down that little thing and now pick up the one that's black and gold. And imagine right now, and I'm doing this, like, I'm going to envision myself on the Roberto Clemente Bridge right now, going to work, or I'm a salesman, and I'm going, or a salesperson going to my next meeting, and I'm crossing the Clemente Bridge. I look at the baseball field and I'm listening to the Pittsburgh sports stations out there right now. Do you think that they are defending Tomlin, or do you think that they are basically greasing the skids for change? I can tell you the answer. It's the second one. They want him out. And when that starts to, and this is not the first year that it's built, when that begins to bubble and bubble and grow and bubble and bubble, guess what? Even a patient, historically patient and prudent franchise like the Steelers, they might flinch, which is why you call them.
But they've been doing that forever. I think the fans in Pittsburgh for, what, the last decade or so have been calling for a change at head coach, and the owners don't do anything. So when I look at it logically. Okay, do I think that Mike Tomlin is a great head coach? Yes, unequivocally, yes, great head coach. Do I think I could find somebody that would be better than Mike Tomlin to be the head coach of my franchise? No, not necessarily, I don't. I mean, it's possible, I guess, but you know how hard that would be? The third thing is the Steelers have not operated in a fashion that would make me think that on any way, shape, or form, they would be willing to move on from their 18-year head coach who's never had a losing season. They stuck with Bill Cowher all those years. He was there 15 years. Mm-hmm. He won a Super Bowl in year, what, 13 or 14, whatever it was, before he finally said goodbye in 2006.
Yeah, but he won playoff games. I'd have to double-check this. I know he lost a couple of AFC Championship games at home, which obviously drove Steeler fans nuts, which I get. But, I mean, how many... To get to the AFC Championship game, you're at least winning playoff games.
Right.
Mike Tomlin hasn't won since 2016.
Yeah, all right, 2016.
It's a long, 2016!
I get it.
That's a long time.
Jets haven't been in the playoffs, I don't need to remind you, since 2010. So we're talking about a long time ago since a team that was even in the playoffs, and then we're nitpicking. And I get what you're saying, like you look at it with a different lens, because they're the Steelers. Just like, well, they're the Yankees.
Correct.
Still, but maybe there's a reason they're the Steelers. And one of those reasons are they're not firing and hiring head coaches every 4 years.
But if they were going through 9 and 10 year droughts of no playoff wins, guess what? They wouldn't be the Steelers. They'd be the Jets.
Yeah.
Like right now, they're not the Steelers that we romanticize about. They don't win anymore.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't had a losing season, BT.
I get that, but
it's been 18. Imagine watching your football team, especially from a Jets perspective, that hasn't had a losing season in 18 years.
Sign me up. Sign me up, but that's why I use the different prisms. The green one and the black and gold one. They're very different.
Greg is in the Bronx. What's up, Greg?
Hey, what's up, guys? My take on Tomlin. I think I'm a Steelers fan. If you want to get rid of this guy, you got to be crazy. What people are not realizing is what he has to work with. They haven't had a pick higher than 10 in 30 years. There's teams in the league that get two picks in the top 10 in the same draft. He hasn't had that in. He doesn't have anything to work with. You know, it's not just him.
Well, not even his Harbaugh in Baltimore. I mean, he got Lamar 32 years ago. They never pick in the top 10 either. Neither do the Niners lately. I know they had a bad year, but neither did the Patriots all those years. I mean, it's not, you know, unique to the Steelers. I got news for everybody. Good teams don't pick in the top 10 unless there was a trade or some, you know, residue from a previous move, which has happened a few times, but very rarely.
Well, right, but that still is a point where other franchises have had the opportunity to take some of the best players in, you know, college football or in the NFL draft, and it helps turn their franchise around where the Steelers have to do it a different way, and that's maybe a victim of their own success. So what? I mean, I'm not going to use that as a feather in Tomlin's cap saying, well, look at how great he is. Just look at it overall. Like, they haven't had a losing season in 18 years. Now, the organization themselves could trade up if they identify a player that they want. They
Chiefs
took Kenny,
did it.
They took Kenny Pickett. He stinks.
He stinks. Chiefs did it. That's how they got Mahomes.
Well,
they moved
up. I mean, so you're allowed to move up and get a top player if you want. I think, though, the Steelers' issues are more about personnel than they are about Tomlin and coaching. And again, I'm not saying he's the best in-game manager, the timeout use or whatever, a lack of aggression and at certain times, you know, not going for it the other day. Like, yeah, I could get all that. But ultimately, you look at him pound for pound versus the other coaches out there. I mean, maybe there were two in the league, maybe not even two, that I would rather have than Mike Tomlin.
I mean, it's an old expression. Just feel like it feels like it's time for change. I don't know anything else around the NFL that just feels like it's time for change more than that situation.
And look, I'd love to see it. Like I said, I'd love to see him here. And I do trust that he would build the Jets up. Like, there's no doubt about that. That's what makes him so great, which is why I would never let him go.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
For who the next head coach of the New York Jets should be, it may be coming to fruition. Because 6 days ago, you said the adult in the room for the New York Jets should be Mike McCarthy. But Mike McCarthy was employed 6 days ago, and if you're just tuning in right now, the Dallas Cowboys, like the klutzes that they are, they haven't even really fired Mike McCarthy. They just broke up. And now Mike McCarthy is free to pursue other dates, other marriages. And so there's a lot on this. Number one, the Jets' pursuit of Mike McCarthy. And number two, the Dallas Cowboys are like the third local team in this area. There are so many Cowboy fans. Now that you got what you wanted and Mike McCarthy's gone, who the hell's going to coach the team?
I know. We didn't even do this prediction. We're going to have to come back later today and do this prediction because when we did them last week, it were only six openings. Now
right.
There's a seventh opening. I got to really think about who can put up with Jerry Jones and be the Cowboys' next head coach. But that's for later on in the show. We'll get to it. But look, he knew that this was inevitable. Whether Jerry Jones, because he was frustrated by the lack of playoff progression of Mike McCarthy. He's fantastic in the regular season. We all know it. Won 12 games multiple times. But they could never feel viable for a Super Bowl, even after giving Dak Prescott a huge contract. You have one of the best wide receivers in CeeDee Lamb. You had a good defense there for a while. Now it seems to be coming back to the mean. But like, eventually, Jerry Jones was going to get tired of Mike McCarthy. But I think the bigger thing, Evan, is that Mike McCarthy actually got tired of Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
I think that's what this comes. And it just tells you, right? If you're a head coach in the NFL, he's making, what, $7, $8, $6 million? Who knows? Whatever millions of dollars it is a year. It's hard to get these jobs. Why would you voluntarily walk away from one? You just wouldn't. Because, all right, Jerry, you're going to give me 3 or 4 more years of guaranteed money? Great. I'm good. I'm set for life. But Mike McCarthy started to hear things. He started to hear, well, the Chicago Bears could be interested. Oh, you know, I was listening to WFAN, and Tiki Barber said I'd be great for the New York Jets.
Mm.
Right? I think he got tired of the Dallas situation more than Jerry Jones got tired of the Mike McCarthy situation.
Well, and Jerry screwed up. You let a head coach get this close to free agency.
Mm-hmm.
His contract was going to run out this week, and they couldn't agree on a contract. We should have known better. We should have known over the last 2 weeks that the longer there was no announcement on a brand new contract,
right,
the odds were higher that this was going to happen where Mike McCarthy was going to get to free agency. And I'll tell you something about Mike McCarthy that impresses me. Besides the 3 consecutive 12-win seasons, besides the fact that, you know, if you're a Jet fan and you want experience at head coach, he certainly hasn't. Guy's been a head coach for 18 years. The fact that this past season, in a year in which Dak Prescott was hurt, he got 4-4 and some respectable numbers out of Cooper Rush. That's what Mike McCarthy did. Like, the Cowboys won 7 games this year, and I know that's not incredibly impressive, but considering the injuries and considering everything he was dealing with, it's not the most unimpressive thing in the world. And so what needs to happen right now if you're the New York Jets? Not that you should just lay down and hand him the job, but you should interview him. The Jets have interviewed everybody in this country. They even called Sean Morash for an interview, but he turned it down because he was lazy and didn't want to leave his home.
It's too far a drive, Ev.
Call up Mike McCarthy.
And it was the Jets.
And it was the Jets. Call up Mike McCarthy, and here's what's kind of cool if you're Woody Johnson. Here's what you can find out that no one else knows. No one else knows this answer, and you're going to get the answer. You call Mike McCarthy into a room. You have a meeting with him, and guess what you're going to get to find out that no one has? Not Ian O'Connor, not anybody. The exclusive, uncensored opinions of Mike McCarthy on Aaron Rodgers. That's what you're going to get. You're going to call him in and say, all right, Mike, you're interviewing for the job. Aaron Rodgers, your thoughts. And let him tell you the damn truth.
Yeah, by the way, that is super valuable.
You think?
100% it is, because currently, who are they getting intel on about Aaron Rodgers that actually knows Aaron Rodgers and is not someone like us or any other outside watcher who is giving an opinion based on what you see on Pat McAfee or, previous controversies that Aaron Rodgers has had? The only person that knows him is someone who coached him. And I don't think the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Matt LaFleur is not giving any intel on Aaron Rodgers right now. And so, why not?
Yes!
If for anything else, because we just talked about this last week with all the universe are doing. Just learn about yourself. What do you think about us as a Jet organization? Now you have actually something to ask of Mike McCarthy. Tell us what you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be like at 41 years
because
old.
Because here's what I'd be so freaking curious about, all right? If you get him into your office, if you get him into your room, and you ask him, all right, you're the head coach of the New York Jets. Do you want Aaron Rodgers coming back? His answer will tell you a lot.
He's going to say yes.
You think so?
100%.
Even though their breakup wasn't exactly the sweetest breakup?
Yeah, but that's just professional breakups. That happens sometimes. You know what I mean? You didn't get along professionally, but you still had success professionally.
Right.
Right? That's what it comes down to. You don't have to like everybody you work with.
No, but and that tells you everything. Because if Mike McCarthy says, yeah, I would be considering and would be interested in remarrying Aaron Rodgers, and who knows what Aaron actually thinks about this, then that's got to make you think twice in a good way about him being your next head coach.
Right.
Connor Hughes, who's very, very informed, put out a tweet not too long ago saying if Mike McCarthy heads to New Orleans and the Saints have an interest in Mike McCarthy and they decide to move on from Derek Carr, that could be a good landing spot for Aaron Rodgers. Hmm. Well, you hear that and you say to yourself, well, as a Jet fan, why don't we get Mike McCarthy and consider keeping Aaron Rodgers? And I've been clear about this with Rodgers. To me, it needs to be about who the next head coach is. If the next head coach is Rex Ryan, it's not working. If the next head coach is Aaron Glenn,
Rex Ryan, right?
It's not. It never was going to be Rex Ryan. But yes.
Who said that? Connor also?
Connor Hughes said.
Thank you, Connor.
Thank you, Connor.
For clarifying that.
Not happening.
I know all you Jet fans wanted him nostalgically.
No. Not all you Jet fans wanted him.
A lot of you Jet fans wanted him. Not the voice of the Jet fan, Evan Roberts.
No, I'm just one voice. Some of you Jet fans wanted him. But if Aaron Glenn is the next head coach, I would think, I don't know. Rookie head coach? Probably not ideal.
Right. Could be great, but you don't know.
For Mike McCarthy, for a veteran coach, it would make more sense. And so if I'm the Jets right now, I love Brian Flores. I think he's at the top of my list. And I keep him at the top of my list. But I am getting Mike McCarthy in the fold now. And that's what I need to hear from Woody Johnson and the Jets over the next 48 hours. There is a new available guy, a guy that's won a championship, a guy that had 3 consecutive 12-win seasons, a guy that somehow got 500 out of Cooper Rush, a guy that, as you phrased it a week ago, he'd be the adult in the room.
Yeah.
There has to be something appealing about that if you're Woody Johnson and you're the New York Jets.
I think the Jets need a coach who can not only coach the players, but also coach the franchise. And we talked about this last week when we were talking about Sean Payton. That's what he did in New Orleans. It's why they had such a long, decade or so of success. It's because they got a coach who knew not only to build a team and to coach the team and to get them playing at their best, but also to get the franchise out of the way.
Right.
Or get them out of their own way. Right. Stop making these XYZ mistakes. And the Jets need something like that. They need executives and they need a head coach who knows how to win, how to create a winning culture so that it starts at the top and trickles all the way down through to the equipment guy or whoever the ball boy is. Right? Those are the type of things that strong, successful head coaches do. And I think as much as Mike McCarthy has been frustrating and somewhat of a laughingstock for Dallas Cowboy fans, he actually is a very accomplished head coach.
Well,
especially when you look at his career regular season record and his propensity to get to the postseason, although he's failed and fallen short a lot of times in that postseason.
Well, here's the thing, all right? There is going to be a day. I hope there's a day. I pray for a day where we are sitting here on the Monday after Wild Card weekend, and I turn on a microphone with you, and even Sean is a Giant fan, Lugie is a Giant fan, you is a Giant legend. You turn on the microphone too, and you complain that you're tired of first round playoff defeats.
I know.
That would be a cool moment.
Give me the Steelers problem.
Yes. So when I see the Steelers quote unquote problem, which we'll address later, or we see the Cowboys quote unquote problem, like we're addressing now, I, as a Jet fan, say, give me that problem.
I am jealous of your problem.
Now, I admit, there will come a day in which I say, all right, enough's enough. I mean, how many wild card round losses can I have before I say, feed me more? I get that. But the Jets and the Giants are so far away from that problem that I want that problem. So for the Dallas Cowboy fans out there, who are like, I'm so glad we got rid of him. I'm so glad a guy who won 12 games three consecutive years is gone and somehow won seven games with an injured Dak Prescott and Cooper Rush is gone. I understand your feelings. Now understand my feelings. And my feelings are, I just want to be relevant. I just want to win some games. And yeah, in 2029, maybe I've got a different tune. In 2030, maybe we're talking about getting to the next step. But right now, if you're the New York Jet fan or even the New York Giant fan, you are thirsty for that kind of relevance, stability, or as they like to call it, mediocrity. Give me that mediocrity.
Yeah, mediocrity is fantastic when it includes going to the postseason all the
Absolutely.
Time. I mean, I'll take it all the time, just like the Mike Tomlin conversation. But, you know, it's when you start thinking about where Mike McCarthy would want to go, he's got to be thinking, I want to find success. Right, I don't want to go somewhere and build. Like when you've been a coach for as long as he's been a coach, how many years did you say?
18 years. 13 with Green Bay, 5 with Dallas as a head coach.
The last thing you want to do is, all right, boys, let's start from the bottom and build this thing foundation up. That's hard. And it's hard to, get the right kind of people around to do that. And so I think the teams that are going to look at him are going to be teams that are not that far away from being good. Now, luckily, the Jets are one, right? It feels like what was holding the Jets back were two things. One, questions on the head coach, and then obviously the quarterback. Now, the quarterback wasn't anybody's fault because Aaron Rodgers got hurt, and then he looked old for half of this season last season. At the end of the season, he looked better. So maybe you have that solved if you decide to hold on to him. There's going to be some free agents that come due. To come free. I mean, hell, Cooper Rush is a free agent. He could bring Cooper Rush in here as a bridge quarterback and take one of these kids in the second round. But the most important thing is that the Jets have most of a roster to compete, right? And that's hard to have. Some of these teams that are available looking for head coaches right now, they don't even have that.
Well, I think for every head coach, when you ask the question, it's always difficult. What does this person want? Is this person going to want the Jets? Is this person going to want the Bears? Is this person going to want the Saints? I think it's different depending on what's most important to you. What the New York Jets can offer, A, is money, B, is power, and C, is the esteem that if you win here, you're a freaking god. Now, I want to make it clear. I'm not handing Mike McCarthy the head coaching job. I want to interview him.
Right.
I want to hear what he has to say about Aaron Rodgers. I want to hear what he has to say about my organization.
Is he your best option?
Right now, Brian Flores, who I have endorsed for months now, remains at the top of my list, of my realistic list. So I still am enamored by Brian Flores because of the ceiling that he has. Like, I don't think we've seen the best of Brian Flores. The odds are we've seen the best of Mike McCarthy. He won a championship with a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean he can't do it again. It just means with Brian Flores, I'm bringing someone in banking that the best is yet to come. That's how I view him. But Mike McCarthy should be interviewed. Now, for all you Cowboy fans out there, because you're very special to all of us, the Dallas Cowboys are the third local team in our area. They may not be as popular as the Jets or as popular as the Giants in the tri-state area, but we all know Cowboy fans. We all interact with Cowboy fans. We're all disgusted by Dallas Cowboy fans. Dallas Cowboy fans fill our building, whether it's MetLife Stadium for a game against the Giants, whether it's MetLife Stadium for a game against the Jets next year. My question to you people out there is, now that you got the blood that you wanted, now that Mike McCarthy, the worst head coach of all time, is finally gone, the real reason you can't win, that fat loser Mike McCarthy, I'm not calling him a fat loser. I'm quoting them, Sean.
Mm.
That's what they say.
Sounded like you were calling him fat on your own.
I like Mike McCarthy.
He's fat!
I'm saying this is what they're saying. Now that you got your blood and he's gone, what you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Because it is so easy as a fan base. We've done it. We've all done it. Mm-hmm. It's so easy as a fan base to scream and yell about how bad a coach is or how bad a manager is and say, fire him, fire him, fire him, fire him, fire him, fire him. Okay, now what?
Yeah.
So to the Dallas Cowboy fan out there, what you going to do now? I'm just curious. I mean that not in a hateful way. Tiki will come from a hateful way. He's a Giant fan. But for you guys, like, okay, you got him. You blamed him. He's gone. What a loser. Now what?
Mm.
Because I don't see, Tiki, an obvious answer
on
what they should do.
There isn't, unless you go with someone who is completely opposite of what Jerry Jones has gone for. That is, guys that are going to fall into line with what he says, let him be the head/figurehead of the organization. It's not the head coach. Most teams, it's the head coach, right? When you have a question, you're going to ask the head coach, hey, coach, what's going on with XYZ? With the Cowboys, you're asking Jerry Jones. Hey, Jerry Jones, what's going on with XYZ? Right? It's hard because all these head coaches, they have the egos, and I don't mean this in a bad way, like they're mean or ugly or just bad guys or cocky or whatever you want to say, but when you're a head coach, you necessarily have to have a massive ego. You have to know that you're going to be successful. Know that your way is the way that it's going to work, and communicate that to everyone in the organization. And so if you are anything less than that, meaning, oh, I wonder if my scheme is going to work here. Oh, I wonder if my way of coaching is going to work. You're not going to work in Dallas's, Jerry Jones's world. So there's only a couple guys that I think fit. Either you know it, like Kellen Moore, who was there for, what, 2 years or 1 year? Was he there 2 years or?
He was there a little longer. I think he preceded Mike McCarthy and stayed on.
Did he?
Let me double check.
I feel like he was elsewhere, but no, you might be right, because I feel like he was under Jason Garrett too. But whatever, someone who's been there before like Kellen Moore, or someone who's just a badass like Brian Flores, right, who just doesn't care, right? I don't care what you say, Jerry Jones. I'm telling you what I want, how I want to do things, and you can have your history, but your history hasn't won you a championship type of thing. That's what Brian Flores is going to say. So if you're the Cowboys, you need someone either who knows Jerry or knows the way that it operates, or someone who doesn't give a crap what Jerry says.
We have a very busy show today. We'll get to all the fallout from Wild Card Weekend, including why the football was so incredibly bad. We have a very special Evan and Tiki investigation. You're probably not even aware of it, but there was a sound scandal in the middle of one of the NFL playoff games that we will put under investigation. But for the Cowboy fans, for my fellow Jet fans, Mike McCarthy is now gone if you're a Cowboy fan, you need to replace him, and now available if you're a Jet fan.
What's really important is that they get the general manager right. The general manager has got to be right as well. He doesn't have to be a big-time personality guy. He's just got to be a guy that has had a track record of some success in the NFL somewhere else. You know, Joe Douglas had success. He was basically unknown when they hired him away from Philadelphia. And to me, Joe did a good job here. I'm not going to kill Joe except with the, you know, maybe the Zach Wilson's draft. Everything else, I think, you know, actually he did reasonably well and stayed quiet. He was below the radar, which is the kind of guy that I want for the Jets, because I want that alpha male to be the face of that franchise, to actually give the franchise itself a shot in the arm and also give the fan base something to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly how they're handling this. whether they're going to hire the GM first. I mean, at first, I think it's nuts to not hire the GM first. But then again, when we talked about getting a guy like Mike Vrabel, if you had a shot at him, which you never did once the Patriots fired Gerard Mayo, then you bring in that guy and then say, okay, let's find a guy that'll work with Mike Vrabel. I don't know if there's anybody else out there that the Jets are considering that they would hire that head coach to then decide who he wanted to work with as a general manager. And so now I'm back to hopefully they could find that general manager first, who is then going to sign off on that head coach.
All right, so if you are going to go down the path of, okay, let's go steal people that are successful in other places, because that's basically what's going on here in the NFL, then it would be Borgonzi and of course, Matt Nagy would make a lot of sense.
Shents.
That would make a lot of sense because obviously they know each other. They're coming from Kansas City, which has been the most successful franchise over the last 5 years, due in large part because of the head coach and the quarterback, the special quarterback they have. But those guys have been around. They're the ones that, you know, that have had a coach, Patrick Mahomes, straight up. I don't think that there has been any drop off from when Eric Bieniemy left to when Matt Nagy came back, because it was Matt Nagy's he was the offense coordinator before.
So you're going Nagy today now. I asked you yesterday, Nagy or Nagy. You said Nagy. Now you're going Nagy. You're confusing the hell out of me.
I don't know. Whatever.
No, I want to know
it's
what
like
it is.
We got Hartenstein.
It's
Hartenstein and Hartenstein.
No, it's Hartenstein, actually.
Stein.
It was Hartenstein. I need to know where we're going. We need to be on a united front with this.
I'm saying Nagy.
But you haven't been all morning.
Well, it's early. I could change.
So we're saying we, as Boomer and Geo, united front, are going Matt Nagy, not Matt Nagy.
Al.
Matt Nagy.
There you go.
Okay, but that's AI.
Matt Nagy.
Yeah, that's Matt Nagy.
We'll put in Boomer's name. Does it pronounce?
Actually, I Googled, how do you pronounce Matt Nagy? And it came up as this, like a pronunciation guide for his name somehow.
Okay.
Matt Nagy.
All right, I was always a Nagy guy. But then I hear Nagy a lot. And we can't be doing this back and forth. It's like Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, well, Matt Nagy does have two Super Bowls. You know, much like Steve Spagnuolo, is it Spagnuolo, Spagnola?
Spagnuolo.
All right.
Spags.
Spags. Let's just call him Spags.
Yeah, just
call this
Spags.
Guy Nags and call him Spags.
Nags and Spags. Yeah, why not? Who probably will be on their way to another AFC championship
but
game.
But again, right. But again, they are successful coaches and front office people that are with a successful franchise. And, you know, even Andy Reid had to leave Philadelphia, and he had to get another start in Kansas City. You know, the moment that Philadelphia decided it was done, guess what? He got a job immediately in Kansas City. So, I mean, these things happen to all these coaches. I mean, Bill Belichick was fired. You know, Bill Parcells has been fired. I mean, they've all been fired. It's just the nature of the business, and things turn stale, and eventually, you know, teams are going to move on from their coaches because their fan bases are restless. That's exactly what happened in Chicago with Nags.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I would just think if you told me it was going to be Borgonzi and Nags, I wouldn't be disappointed with that. If you had told me that it's going to be, I'm trying to think who maybe Brian Flores has crossed paths with, maybe Dimitroff and Flores, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I think that these are the types of pairings that I would believe that the Jets would be looking for, because the last thing you want to do is, I don't think you want to put two guys together that have never met.
No, you can't do that. I mean, that would be very Jet-like if that were the case. But then again, if that is the case, then you got to hire the general manager first.
I think if you sat up there and you had Borgonzi, right, and you had Nagy, you could sit there very comfortably as the owner of the New York Jets and say, we are hiring two people that are coming from the preeminent organization in terms of winning in the league. Now, the other two organizations that have won a lot, they just haven't won Super Bowls over the last 5 years since 2018, and it correlates to the fact that they drafted quarterbacks that year, are the Bills and the Ravens. The Bills and the Ravens know what they're doing. That's why Joe Shane got a job. That's why Brian Daboll got a job. That's why you would look within the Bills organization and see who's a part of the decision making and scouting. Those are all the reasons why they're interviewing people from those organizations as well. But that's really what's going on here. Like, I want a piece of what Kansas City has. How do I get that piece? And here are guys that have been in that building for an extended period of time. They've seen how it's been done. They have
had to fix a roster over and over and over again once they gave Patrick Mahomes that huge contract. They gave Chris Jones that huge contract. They had to let L'Jarius Sneed go, one of their best defensive backs. And these are the things that I think people like Woody Johnson, Jerry Jones, are all looking at when it comes to, okay, what is the pair that I can find that can recreate the success that they're having in Kansas City?
If Borgonzi ends up being hired, that's going to be hilarious, because the second that I saw his name, I was like, that's the guy who's coming here, because I could just hear the phone calls. I could hear Joe Beningo just because of his name and people calling up and being like, what a terrible draft by Borgonzi. Honestly, this Borgonzi. And I said that the first time I saw it. There's been 50,000 GM candidates. And if he ends up coming here, then like maybe I'm a soothsayer.
Right. Maybe you are. But I'm just giving you an example of how I think the Jets have got to go about this. I mean, the Giants went about it that way. I'm not saying that it worked out the first year. And maybe things will work out because of the success of the draft this past year. But they brought in two guys from the Bills. And because the Bills have had so much success, have drafted really well, especially on the defensive line and the offensive line, they've made the right free agent pickups. They knew when to get rid of Steph Diggs. I mean, you know, there are a lot of things that have gone on here that the Bills have done, and you want to try to recreate some of that success. But the problem is you've got to find the quarterback, man. You got to find the playmaking quarterback that makes everybody just look like they know what they're doing. So when Jaden Daniels has the ball in his hands and it's 3rd and 10 and you're in the fourth quarter and you're on the road and the people are screaming and you can't recreate that in practice, and somehow this kid is just unbelievably unflappable and he makes plays. I mean, that's just the human being playing the position. You're giving him the play calls, the play sheets, and the roadmap to victory. He's got to execute it. So both of these franchises around here have got to find that type of guy before anybody's going to have any success.
Well, it's the most important. I mean, it really is. The head coach is right there behind it, but the most important is that guy. And bad coaching staffs can ruin quarterbacks, but I think when it's so special, and a guy like Jaden Daniels, a guy like Patrick Mahomes, I mean, obviously pairing with Andy Reid made it a dynasty. But really, it's if you have that guy that's so good, that's the thing you pick first and foremost.
And look at how like Jared Goff, Ben Johnson, and Dan Campbell are. You know, that didn't get off to the greatest of starts.
Well, he wasn't the Ben Johnson was not the offensive coordinator when they first started there. You know, he took over at like year two or three of Dan Campbell's tenure. I think it was like Jim Bob Cooter back in the day.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
But Ben Johnson did not start year one. He was there on the staff, but he did not start year one as the offensive coordinator for them. And then when he did and then became the offensive coordinator, things went to a different level. And we'll see maybe if Ben Johnson goes to Dallas. You know, that is now one of the things that there's some, if there's smoke, there's fire.
BT and Sal back on the Fan on this Thursday. We've been talking all Knicks so far. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. But BT, I know potential Jets future head coach had some interesting things to say that made you want him even more yesterday.
I don't think you could say better than this. I want to play Zary Glenn, obviously, who I guess through some back channels has let it be known that he absolutely really wants the Jets job. I know it's been more than anybody else, more than any other job, I should say. I know it's been pretty widely reported by now that he is very high on the list, might be the favorite at this point, that he and Flores have eyeing for it. So this is an interesting spot to be in now. Not that it matters, you know, the Jets fans right now, but if I'm a Lions fan, man, the last thing I want is my coordinators out there talking about other teams in interviews, which is kind of what's going on. I mean, Ben Johnson, now right. He deflected. He did a very good job. Aaron Glenn's talking about this. Flores obviously has had to wrestle with this before losing the other day. So Glenn was asked about the perception of being a defensive coach. And listen to this perfect answer.
Here's the one thing that I would say about myself. I'm a coach. I just happen to be on defense. I understand the offense just as well as a number of people. So if you want to hire me, you're going to hire a coach. You're not going to hire a defensive coach. I'm going to talk to the offense just as much as I'm going to talk to the defense.
And listen, there's some people who say things, you're like, all right, whatever. I don't believe you. I believe that. Like, that resonates with me. And think about what he could have said, Sal. So, all right, I'm going to be Aaron Glenn. Asked me. So, ask me the question. Here's what he could have said so easily. Go ahead. Ask me the question.
Yeah. What about the fact that you're just the defensive coordinator?
Well, I mean, listen, I've got great confidence in my abilities to surround myself with a great staff, and the offensive staff will know what they're doing, and, you know, I'll empower them and delegate the job, and they'll do with it. I mean, that's what he could have said.
By
like,
the way,
I'm not saying that, though.
How about compare Glenn's answer to Rex's answer?
Rex's answer was, I don't know, I'll get the best staff. We'll get the best staff.
I have no idea. We're going to ground and pound it. I'm going to hire Greg Roman or whatever. You know, offensive coordinator.
Thank God they're not hiring him. That was a circus.
I'll be honest with you. That comment started to open my mind a little bit. You know that I've been open to Glenn. It's not dismissive saying I don't want, you know, a first-time defensive coordinator. It's not what I... To me, it's not the ideal situation for the Jets' current situation.
Mm-hmm.
However, hearing that solidifies his legitimacy as far as a potentially good head coach, not just a first-time head coach that is coming from the defensive side of the football. So when you hear that, it does give me belief that he can be a good head coach. I still would skew offense, if I'm going first-time head coach, I still value experience, success, offense, but I don't think Aaron Glenn would be a bad hire.
I think he'd be a really good one. To me, that sounds like a CEO.
You want him more than Flores now?
I do. I told you that the other day. To me, Aaron Glenn, well, I mean, listen, I had Vrabel was always number one, but we know what happened. Yeah. Aaron Glenn has jumped over Flores. I'm not saying I don't want Flores. They need to investigate why he turned into a lunatic out down there in Miami, because I think there's so much value with Brian Flores. I think he'll kick this team in the ass. I think the penalties will get cut in half. I think if you're sloppy, either in the weight room or the film room, or, you know, you're selfish and not filling the gaps you're supposed to fill because you want to chase a sack or a different stat, you're gone, or it's going to change. Like, I really do like Flores, but Aaron Glenn, to me, is the guy at this point. And think about this. Like, let's just contrast this. For some reason, by the way, the Dallas Cowboys are interested. Everybody wants Robert Saleh now.
Yeah, well...
I mean, the Cowboys, the Jaguars, everybody, come on, stop. But I forget which game it was. I don't think it was the Niners game. It wasn't the Titans game. I was there for that. I remember the stats better. Either way, it was an early game. And I remember one of the criticisms, and of course, it could have been the Denver game in the rain, whatever. They lost, of course. And like, it was such a disparity in pass versus run. They became so pass heavy and pass reliant. And I remember us getting on there saying, first of all, the weather wasn't good, and this guy's Achilles hanging by a thread. He's thrown it 40 times. Where's the balance? And I can promise you that Robert Saleh did not walk down to the offensive part of the building and go, whoa, guys, what the hell are we doing here? I guarantee Aaron Glenn will.
Yeah, Robert Saleh was not an all-around head coach. We know that he was a defensive mind.
What I understand about this Jet hiring cycle right now is that Woody's making the decision. Woody is making the decision.
Well, I mean, who else would?
Well, I mean... There's
no GM right now.
I know. There's usually a collaboration. There's usually an understanding. You sit down, you talk to a GM, and you sit and you say, okay, who could you work with? Could you work with this guy? Could you do this? Could you do that? And, you know, Woody's trying to find the match made in heaven, I guess. But the reason it's taking so long and the reason that they're interviewing so many people is because he's being demanding. And he wants to get as many opinions and...
Except guys who have won Super Bowls before, because they're not talking to Pete Carroll, Mike McCarthy, or John Gruden. But everybody else, you know, it's really amazing when you put together a list and then there's three guys out there. I'm not saying that you have to hire these guys, but to have that many interviews and then not bring those guys in. And then I agree that Ben Johnson's not taking the Jet job. I've said that for months. But at least request him, get him in the building. He's the preeminent offensive mind in football right now. Pick his brain a little bit. See what he's doing right. You know, ask certain questions that could help the organization. It just shows you that, for the most part, they don't know what they're doing again. That's what it feels like.
Well, and the other thing to remember, so this 33rd team led by Mike Tannenbaum is kind of putting these people together with the Jets. And I would also say that, you know, the agents behind the scenes are always working. You know, I think one of the reasons Mike Locksley, the head coach at the University of Maryland, got an interview was because that was a favor for the agent and probably a little bit of a favor for Mike to show the University of Maryland that Mike could leave at any time. And I'm sure Mike's feeling a lot of pressure because it hasn't gone well for the University of Maryland football team over the last 3 to 4 years now. And I don't suspect that it's going to get any better. He can recruit as much as he wants, but his team becomes a development ground for Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, LSU, teams that have a lot more money. Although, supposedly, they'll have the same amount of money and be able to share it with their athletes moving forward because of that lawsuit that was finally came to an end. So I don't know what's going to happen there. But I look at this, and I'm thinking, to me, it's more and more, it feels like to me, it's Aaron Glenn. It does, because Aaron obviously is still coaching. This team could go to the Super Bowl. I know that there was some thought that none of these teams should be able to hire anybody until the Super Bowl was over. You know what I mean? And I think that from a coaching perspective, that would be the fairest way to go about this in terms of the hiring cycle. But, you know, obviously Mike Vrabel is already with the New England Patriots. They knew who they wanted and they went after him. Screw all the rules, screw all the protocols. We don't care. We'll take heat for 3 or 4 days about, you know, sham interviews with Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton to meet the Rooney Rule. And then we're going to go out and get our guy. The sham interview part of it, that's up to the players and the coaches when they come down to whether or not they want to take the interviews. But the immediacy and the quickness at which Bob Kraft and Jonathan Kraft responded in this particular situation was amazing to me. That's what I'd like to see the Jets do, but they can't figure out who they want.
Well, if it is Aaron Glenn, and that's a first-time head coach, again, who was a coordinator, understand we like Aaron. He was here. He was a former teammate of yours. I can't really say a bad word about him, but a first-time head coach in that building with the Jets, again, is a terrible idea.
The only negative word you can say is inexperienced when it comes to head coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've, for months, I mean, we even said it before they hired Rob Saleh that they needed somebody who had experience to come in and stabilize things. And they ended up going with Rob Saleh. But when they fired Rob Saleh, the next head coach has got to be a guy with experience and walks in that building. You know, the buck stops there. If they end up hiring Aaron Glenn, that's the exact opposite of what we were talking about.
I'm just trying to think. So we've been through, at least this show has been through Eric Mangini. Let's get Brett. Eric Mangini, then to Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan to Adam Gase.
Todd Bowles, you missed.
I mean, Todd Bowles, then Todd Bowles to Adam Gase.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Gase, then to
Rob Saleh.
So we've been through all of that.
Yep.
We took this job in I took this job in 2007. So Mangini 2006 to 2008, Rex Ryan 2009 to 2014, Bowles 2015 to 2018, Gase 2019 2020, Robert Saleh 21 to 24, Jeff Ulbrich 24 to now. So Jeff was on that list, too. So that's seven coaches. Seven coaches in the 18 years that I've been here.
And then do the Giants have, almost as many? Not quite.
Yeah, so Tom Coughlin was the coach that was here.
Coughlin.
When we started.
McAdoo. Shermer.
Well, Spagnuolo in there was in there as a interim, right?
Yes. But as far, there you go. McAdoo, Spagnuolo, Shermer, Judge, Daboll. So there's five guys there. Seven for the Jets, five for the Giants.
Well, what they don't have on there is, no, they don't have Tom Coughlin on there because Tom Coughlin was the coach when we took over here.
Yeah, so six. So six. 13 guys.
13 guys in 18 years.
Yeah, for both of the teams.
And neither one of them has had a significant presence until, I guess you could say, this year. It's amazing. We started this show. Kurt Warner was the starting quarterback, I feel like. No, he wasn't.
Eli Manning.
That's right. Eli Manning was the starting. But Kurt Warner had started with Eli Manning during Eli Manning's rookie year.
Yeah, it was 2004.
Right. That's right.
So, yeah. Not a lot of great memories there, but you do have two Super Bowls in that time. 7-11 with the Giants, as you know.
Right. So it looks like Woody's the one that's going to be making this decision. And if I had to guess, right now, I think it's going to be Aaron Glenn.
What about the GM?
That's a whole, it could be, I mean, I don't know, man.
Did they interview Ray Agnew from the Lions? I don't think I saw that. Because he's a guy that I think was coveted coming out of that organization. That would sort of be like the Borgonzi Nagy thing. If you had, let's see. I don't see him on there, Agnew.
He's not on there.
Yeah. So I don't know if there's anybody else in there that Aaron Glenn knows really well.
So that Chris Spielman on there, the special assistant to the owner, CEO of the Lions, that's the player, Chris Spielman.
Right. That's also the brother of the guy who's in charge of
Rick Spielman.
Right. He's exactly. Finding candidates.
Yeah.
So there is no shock that he found his way to that building.
You know, it's interesting.
Another, also, Joey Tannenbaum.
an interesting name on there was that Ray Farmer, because he's with the Rams. You know, and the Rams seem to be a pretty well-oiled machine when it comes to running a football team.
Well, he was already a GM with the Cleveland Browns, Ray Farmer.
Anybody who goes through the Cleveland Browns, I think, is scarred for life. Don't you
think? Same thing with the Jets. I mean, I've said this a million times. If you go to the Browns or you go to the Jets, you're a smart person. You leave with a lobotomy, with an NFL lobotomy. They cut out a piece of your brain, and then you're gone. And, like, you hope to rebuild it back up at some point, but not a lot of people get those opportunities. It's not like any of these guys who have left the Jets as head coaches or general managers have gone and done a lot of other stuff. Rex went to Buffalo and failed. Mangini went to Cleveland and failed.
Well, he went from Jets to the Cleveland. I mean, you know, yeah. I went Jets-Cardinals.
I mean, I guess you could say Todd Bowles a little bit of success after.
But what happened with him is he got under Bruce Arians yep. And Tom Brady was down there, and he was a great defense coordinator, which I think we all think he was and still is. I think he still is calling the defensive plays down there. But, you know, at least he's had a presence at quarterback since he left the Jets.
Yeah. But it's just, if you're a smart guy, you end up going to Cleveland, you end up coming and being a part of a Jets organization, you somehow get dumber. And then you just get into the blender, get spit out, and that's the end of it. And if you're a first-time head coach, first-time GM, it's going to happen again.
Yeah, Mike Tannenbaum left the Jets and went to the Dolphins, and then he's done.
Yeah. I cannot believe they're going to do that again. Just another first-time head coach, if they go that way, and GM. It's just a different place. You can't, especially now, Aaron Glenn knows the Jets organization. That is a start.
All right, so what I want a leader of men. So watching some of these clips of Aaron in his defensive meeting rooms and everything else, that's the kind of guy I like. That's the way Rob Saleh was in front of the team. I do kind of like that. But I want to know who his staff is. I want to know what he's going to do in certain situations. And he's probably learned from Dan Campbell that, you know, being aggressive is not a bad thing. And going for it on fourth down, I would imagine he's been impacted by that. But I would want to know who his offensive coordinator is. I want to know who his defense coordinator is. One of the things that I did like what he did say within the last week is that, look, man, I am a head coach. You're not just getting somebody that knows defense. I connect with people. I am a head coach, not just a defensive coach. And that's what he said, and you wanted to make that apparent to everybody. So now I want to know, okay, great, you're a leader of men, you're fantastic. In the meeting rooms, I want to know who is going to be on your staff, who are going to be your coordinators. And by the way, do you have somebody to help you navigate the game when the game is going on and you're the leader amongst men and there's a, you know, you have the ball with a minute 40 to go and you got two timeouts and you need a field goal to win. Who's helping you manage those timeouts? Who's helping, you know, there's, because it feels like all these situations are the same, but they're not. Every situation, even though it appears to be the same, is different simply because of the game that you're playing in and at that moment and how your team is playing and how their team is playing, who their coach is, who their quarterback is, what's the weather like, all the different variables that you have to deal with when you are a head coach. It's not just whether or not you're playing cover two, whether you're playing man, when you're doing fire zones and all that other stuff. That's a specific description of your job. This is what you do. When you become a head coach, it's so much more than just that.
It would not do the audience any good if you went back on the Odyssey Rewind app 5 minutes. If not me, Tiki, or Lugie at least stepped up to the plate to say this. In what universe, based off a 9-0 loss, do you have the gall to turn on your microphone and say that, yeah, we would have won the Super Bowl because we lost to the Packers in the regular season?
Because they held...
You got shut out versus their defense on an offensive team.
They held Aaron Rodgers to 9 points.
And they held you to no points, and their defense was the furthest thing from their strength.
We will have... Keep this in mind, though, Sean.
I just got to let that one slide.
I mean, my God.
Evan deserves something in life. We gave him that one.
We let a lot go.
Exactly.
Maybe Joe...
Why is that that crazy?
Look, in another world...
Joe agrees with me. Joe would let that go. Joe would be
exactly.
Like, I agree, bro.
This is my point. Joe would let it go. Craig would start talking about rainbow cookies.
Or
I cannot sit here and let this go.
First of all...
The idea that you think you would beat Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl is quite frankly disgusting.
Okay, couple of things.
It's DeLulu, like the kids say.
The Green Bay Packers that season allowed the second fewest points in the NFL.
Okay.
So let's not dilute who the Packers were defensively.
Sure, and your air raid offense, I'm sure, would have helped out in scoring that Super Bowl.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just giving you the facts before you continue. Number two, this defense, that's what part of the walkaway. They held Aaron Rodgers to 9 points. The same Packer team that's, you know, quarterbacked by Aaron Rodgers, that's scoring 30 points a game. Like, you don't think that matters?
Evan.
And by the way, you can't control my emotions. TK asked me a question. Do you think you would have beaten them? Yes.
You didn't hesitate.
Well, I'll take it a step further. And I'll never forget this. There are moments in your sports life you don't forget. You remember the AFC Championship game between the Jets and the Steelers? You guys remember that?
Yeah, I was cutting tape out in this newsroom.
I got off to a terrible start, made the comeback. There was a 3rd and 8. In which, if the Jet defense gets off the field, ball's going to be back in the hands of Mark Sanchez, final 2 minutes of the game. I said before that 3rd down play, it was dialed up by the great Bruce Arians, and it was a completion to a rookie named Antonio Brown. I never forget what I said to Ernie Acosta, and I believed it at the time, and I believe it all these years later. I said to him, if our defense gets off the field right now, we're going to the mother bleeping Super Bowl.
Mm.
Because I believed in Mark Sanchez so highly at that point with the way he had played in the second half, with the fact he had beaten Tom Brady on the road a week earlier and Peyton Manning a week before that. Like, don't forget where we were in that moment. It's easy to say now, you wouldn't have beaten them. In that moment, there was this invincibility feel of, if we win this game, no one's stopping us. We beat Roethlisberger, Brady, and Manning back to back. Oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is going to stop us now.
All right, let's not forget who was on that team and how good the Packers defense was. I know you claimed that they stunk.
No. I said they were great. Actually,
I had a misread on their defense.
I said they were the second best defense in the NFL.
They
I put them over, actually.
They had Woodson. Yeah. They were great.
A.J. Hawk.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
I know. We have to teach
Raji.
Sometimes we have to teach him football.
No,
he forgets.
Evan, I'm going to teach you football right now.
No, you're the one who said they were a crappy defense.
In a world. Okay, I was wrong. It was. I overshot it because we were thinking of the Jet defense.
You're thinking historically of the Packers defense.
But in a world where you now know they did, you know, let go of the rope versus the Steelers. Now, in this world, they would have beaten the Steelers.
Yeah.
Doesn't that tell you they probably didn't have another week in them where they were going to stop Aaron Rodgers? And also, let's just be clear here. For the last 2 years, while others have tried to tell you, you know, Rodgers, playoff failures, you know, the Jets, all this, now you're just jumping right to the podium for the same savior at quarterback you defended that he was going to lose to that Jets
Darrell game? Revis.
Oh, my God.
Bart Scott. Rex, you want me to keep going? Antonio Cromartie.
I'm aware
they
of who's
damn
on that team.
Good. And you know what? Here's why you're such a pig.
I'm a pig?
Yeah.
You didn't hesitate to say the Jets would beat the Packers in the Super Bowl.
That's the last time the Jets have played a playoff game, which is part of why I brought this up. Can I have anything in life? I can't take the tiny little victory that if the Jets would have beaten the Steelers that day.
Let's keep it clear.
Hypothetical victory. I'll give you another one. In 1990, as much as Sal may disagree, in 1998, if the Jets beat the Broncos that day at Mile High, they would have smoked the Falcons too.
Is that
okay?
Yes, that one's actually more okay. I would give you that
okay,
one.
How about this one, Tommy? If Beltron rips a double up the alley, we smoke the Tigers.
I wake up every morning thinking that to myself.
Okay.
Yeah. How about this one?
The Tigers didn't have Aaron Rodgers and neither did the freaking Falcons.
How about this one? If Kenny Rogers isn't walking Andrew Jones and the Mets complete the 3-0 comeback, we're stopping the Yankee dynasty
tracks.
If Kevin Durant didn't step on the line, you still would have lost.
Nah, they would have lost anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
That one's different.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a different one. They were worn out.
You're a sad little man, and if it makes you feel better that year you would have beat the Packers, then sleep tight, buddy, but you're nuts.
Speaking of the Packers, I do want to give you, before we get back to your calls, another quarterback name for the New York Giants. Potentially the Jets, too, because they're both looking for quarterbacks. Are you ready for this one?
Here we go!
I said, speaking of the Packers, all right, we'll get to Dak later. How about Malik Willis? Malik Willis was traded right before the season started to the Green Bay Packers. He became Jordan Love's backup. When Jordan Love was banged up this year and Malik Willis came into play, he played well. Didn't turn the ball over once.
Right.
They won a couple of games. He's still relatively young. And so, unlike Sam Darnold, who we kind of saw the best of him this year, isn't there a party that looks at Malik Willis and says, you know what? You give him a real opportunity to play. You bring in him to the Giants with Brian Daboll. Isn't that a guy that maybe you can mold?
Yeah, because he came out. He was a Liberty guy.
Yes.
And, I mean, that's small. I know they've moved up to the American Athletic, I think. One of those conferences, whatever it is. Yeah, exactly. They're bigger in a bigger conference now. But he came out, and he was playing small-time football. And so when he first got chances to play, he struggled. And you can see why.
And he barely played.
And he barely played. Right, so I know he was recruited to Auburn and played there, but he ended up at Liberty, is where he made his name for himself. But like, he still has so much development to go as a young player. The challenge is, are you going to be able to get him away from the Green Bay Packers? Right, because Jordan Love, as good as he is, I know they paid him a ton of money. They need someone that can come in and win behind him.
I agree with you, but I think if you're the Green Bay Packers, your view is, hey, I need a veteran steady backup in case something happens to Jordan Love, while other teams could look at a 25-year-old quarterback and say, I can develop him into something.
Yeah.
So you would think that those teams would have more kind of value put on Malik Willis than a team like Green Bay, who can simply replace Malik Willis with any backup.
True.
If that's what you're looking for. That's just an interesting name to think about.
I never thought of it that way.
It's brief, because he only played two games for the Packers, but I thought, even when he played those games, I remember thinking to myself, all right, note that one in your head. That's a decent young quarterback that I would take a look at. And that fits the Jets, too, because we don't know what the Jets are going to do at quarterback going into next year. But instead of paying big money for Sam Darnold and hoping that you can get what Kevin O'Connell got out of him last year and that what happened in the playoffs was an aberration, how about you develop your own guy who is cast away from a different team?
I want the guy who's not going to ever play in New England. Joe Milton.
Yeah, Joe made very high on him.
He just looked amazing.
No, I know he did.
In his first week. By the way, just going back to that Pittsburgh Steelers Jet conversation, and then obviously the Green Bay Packers 2010 Super Bowl with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Are you going to give me a victory or no?
No.
Damn it.
I was looking at who was on the Packers defense. Yeah. Clay Matthews was there. He's a defensive player of the year running up. You realize that the Steelers, the reason you lost to that team is because their defense was, I mean, we talk about elite. They were the best defense in football.
No, but the Jets were moving on them in the second half of that game.
They had the defensive player of the year and Troy Polamalu, and the defensive third player of the year, who was in third. So they were the defensive player of the year, and the guys who were runner-up and basically came in third, all in that Super Bowl, because of James Harrison, was also on that team. Right, that was the era when defense got you to and won championships.
Yeah.
There was no doubt about
it. That's a different world now.
There's no way the Jets defense was as good as either one of those. So yet, I can't give it to you.
Yet they got to the AFC Championship game, and they were a stop away from knocking off the Steelers and going to the Super Bowl.
Should he wear an L for not hesitating?
No.
No, it's just his belief.
That's a belief thing that one can't prove wrong.
That's misguided fandom.
Okay. And by the way, maybe it was. Like, all I can tell you is, sitting in that building, freezing my butt off in Pittsburgh, that's genuinely how I felt. And one thing I think you all realize about me is I'm not rah-rah optimistic guy. I've never been that fan. So if I honestly had that kind of optimism, that's an outlier for me. Would you at least admit that, Sean?
I guess.
You guess? Haven't you been around me to know? I'm not.
But you know what?
Lugie will definitely answer that. We were sitting there at game four of the NLDS. Mets-Phillies. Am I rah-rah optimistic?
No, you're a total Debbie Downer.
So if I'm actually optimistic about something, which is rare in my sports fandom.
Yeah, but it's an asterisk.
Why you
were in the AFC Championship game, so it's the only thing you came close to being.
I was in the AFC Championship game a year earlier. And by the way, I had no confidence throughout that game.
Yeah, because you thought they backed into the playoffs that year.
I never thought they backed into the playoffs. They had to win their games to get in. Like, I know they were given breaks, but they won. And then, by the way, once they got to the playoffs, look what they did. They beat the Bengals, then they went to San Diego and beat the Chargers. So you're wrong, respectfully. Like, I just didn't have that optimism sitting there in Indianapolis. And I was in the building there for that, too. Like, I never thought at any moment, even when they built the first half lead against Indy, they were winning that game. Mm. But in Pittsburgh, it was just,
I don't know what it was. It was different, man. Yeah. And maybe it's because it just happened in Foxborough a week earlier, and that really installed that like belief of, holy crap, right, we could pull this off. And I wasn't optimistic all week. It was the optimism of sitting in that building after Sanchez threw that touchdown pass to Jericho Cotchery, where I was like, my God, if we get off the field, we're going to win this game. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
In a span of 10 minutes, Evan went from a bizarre world where Mark Sanchez beat Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl to now having to revisit a crushing loss in the AFC Championship game over and over again.